All right, guys, welcome back. Going into the last half here of Roleplay Swan Song. Adam, what's going on?
All right. So after Pi plays all of you to sleep with pleasant French Baroque music, or not, as the case may be, you wake up the next day, and after a few hours of waiting, I mean, you guys have like a meal on board. Everyone's healed up some hit points. The professor, Omar Ibn Said, arrives with a team. They've got a big cargo sled with some equipment on it. So, I mean, he probably notices the damage on the dock and the blood stains.
I would say that I cleaned some of that up, or at least had.
Sure. Yeah, and I think that like maintenance drones probably cleaned some of it up overnight too. But okay. There's obviously been some business here, and he got a call from the police as well, right?
Oh, yesterday. Okay. Yeah.
So he's totally polite about it. He's not just like, "What the hell happened?" Like he says to you, and while his team is loading the equipment, he says to you, Higgs. He says, "Now I know you will want to explain what happened yesterday to me, but I want you to know you don't have to. This is precisely the kind of thing that we hired you for, and the fact that your ship and your entire crew is still in one piece after being assaulted last night speaks a great deal to your credentials.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this trip. I feel like I am in safe hands."
I put my hands on my hip. I'm just like, "Great, yeah, okay, good. Nothing happened. We're good. See you, yeah." I just kind of like walk back into my quarters.
Okay. So he comes aboard the ship. His team offloads the cargo, and they use you guys have like straps that you can use to strap it down, and he personally like double checks to make sure it's secure before he dismisses his team. He's got a bag with him with some of his stuff, and once he's had a look at his gear and the ramp is back up, he asks Higgs. He says, "Where will I be staying for the duration of the trip?"
I look at Victor. I'm like, "Victor, we got any spare quarters somewhere? Where's she? If not, I think he's going to be staying with you."
Let me just look at the Swan Song's character sheet here.
Should have two.
Yeah, we've got two free rooms.
Okay. Oh right. Yeah. Yeah. I'll show you to your room, Doc. Let's follow me. I show him to one of them.
Okay. I think he comments along the way. About like how much he likes these kinds of ships, that there's no wasted space, that everything about them is built for efficiency. Like he's being quite like intentionally respectful of the ship and seems to know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I kind of like roll my eyes where I can't see.
Yeah, sure. And before he goes into his quarters, he says, "I should not get in anyone's way. If I need you, I will. I'll message you on the comms, I suppose. But other than that, I'll try to stay to my quarters. Is there somewhere that I can eat? I would prefer to eat with the crew than alone in my room."
You can join us in the eating room, whatever the hell that's called on the show. Sorry,
the mess,
the mess hall, yeah. The
eating room.
All right, so
go, I'm like, "By the way, Doc, we haven't met Piani, but be careful what you say to her. And also, every now and then, you might hear some music in the ship, and you might have someone talking to you. Just answer the questions to your liking. It's just Piani messing with you. Don't think anything of it."
He casts you kind of like a side eye, and
it's weird as shit. I know. Just deal.
He nods and puts his hands up. He's like, "No. I understand. Having a sense of humor is helpful for traveling these long bouts of space."
Yeah, a sense of humor.
I will do my best to play along. Thank you.
Fantastic.
I would like to ask a sensitive question of you, Mr. Higgs. We looked into the backgrounds of your crew members, and I do not wish to change the arrangement that we have here, but mm-hmm. It's my understanding that one of your crew is afflicted with MES. Is this true?
Yes, he does have a case of the Mies. He does, yes.
So he says, "This crew member, they are being properly medicated for this condition."
Yeah, I believe so. We've got some Wheeze on here, and the Wheeze and the Mies are talking, and I think it's going well. I just kind of like, I'm like real nervous about what's happening.
Right, yeah, he's like, please advise this crew member to, if it is at all possible, avoid the cargo hold, at least until we can offload my equipment. The pheromone projector has been known to cause troublesome side effects. Nothing fatal, I assure you. Some nausea, minor irritation, depending on how sensitive these folks are. The pheromones, they're a bit unstable to those inflicted with this disease. So please, pass this information along to your crew with my utmost respect. I do not wish to offend anyone, but it could be dangerous if they were to...
The screech of the comms comes on. You could have fucking told us this before you came on. Thanks for the information.
And I do like the cuckoo thing next to my head.
Yeah, right.
And I just kind of like shrug at the
doctor. He says, I am sorry, ma'am, that I did not mention this to you before, but it is the result of some very recent testing, and I only received this information of late. The shielding on the equipment is very good. We do not pose a danger to your crew at large, but if you would like to avoid these side effects, please just stay clear if you can. Let me know if you're feeling unwell in any way, and I will do my absolute best to attend to it.
Doc,
he looks to Higgs. He looks to you, Higgs, and says, you have a doctor on board? A ship's crew with medical training?
I mean, he likes to say he's one, but if you have perhaps some training in your past, we could definitely use that.
Yes, I would be happy to have this conversation with your doctor as well.
Great.
Whatever you need, I will try to stay out of your way otherwise.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think you're going to fit right on board the Swan Song, sir. We're glad to have you.
All right. So he heads to his room, you guys want to head off to begin the long trek to the Stavros system?
Sounds good.
Yep.
Okay, so you're going to need to refuel before you go, I think, yes? Because you didn't fuel from the jump from Vafai.
We're going to need to do more than that. We're going to need to plot a special course.
Yes. So if you take a look at the map, I'll transfer you guys back over to that sheet. I can show you where you are, and we can take a look at where you need to go. So you are here in the Anayansi system. I'll figure out how to pronounce that eventually. And you need to get to down here, get to Stavro.
Stavro.
So you can only go two hexes without having to refuel. Yep. So you can't go straight from Anayansi to Stazi, for example, because there's too many hexes between them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you'll have to kind of make a hook around Vafai, Varvaressos, Gunhild, Tovar, and then Stavro.
Absolutely.
Okay. Wow. So supplies are going to be something to keep an eye on, like life support, because you have one extra crew member now. So you guys figure it out amongst yourselves. Figure out how much supply you need and how long it's going to take. It's 6 days for a jump.
Mm-hmm. So each hex is going to take us 30, 30 person days. And we've got 84 right now. So in order to get to Vafai, that's going to drop us to 54. We'll refuel. We'll go to Varvaressos. That'll drop us down to 24. We'll refuel. We'll go to Gunhild. That'll take us, you know, yeah, we're just going to be hopping around between 84, 54, and 24, yep. Basically.
Do I need to roll navigation rolls for each of these hex?
Yeah, each jump you make.
Okay. You want me to roll for Vafai then?
Let me just get to the table. Steven, can you make a note that, if you haven't already, it's 100 credits to refuel per jump? And that one day of stores costs 20 credits per person.
One day of stores.
Yeah, so air cleanse scrubbers and food. And
20 credits per person. Is that 20 credits per person day?
Yeah, 20 credits per day per person.
Yeah, 20 credits per person day. Good. That's fine. So, in order to refuel our two spike jumps, that costs 200 credits.
Yes. Or if you're in a system where you can't refuel 4 days of skimming on a gas giant or a.
Right. Okay, cool. Well, I've got my accounting right here. So.
Let me get to the Starship Travel section. We'll get started. Okay. Higgs, would you like to make a navigation roll for me, please? And thank you.
8.
Okay. All right. So the first jump, 6 days go by. And no problem there. So you're in the Vafai system, and 6 days have passed.
Okay.
So what refueling do you need to do in Vafai, Stephen?
Okay, so that was 6 days of travel.
Yep.
We need to resupply. So equals that times 20. So we need to spend 120 credits to resupply. We need to resupply our spike chumps at times 100. So we need to spend 220 credits.
Okay. So maybe just keep a total.
Yep.
Yeah, just keep a total and we split up 4 ways here.
Split it at the end. Okay.
So if we just want to go through like all of the jumps.
Yeah,
then...
Higgs, you want to jump to
that's fine.
Sector 305?
Doing it. 12. Nailed it.
Nice.
Okay. Can we get a bonus on that? Maybe we make it in
no.
4 days.
If you want to do it faster, you can take a penalty and shave the time off if you want to. But that's if you're in a hurry, and I don't think you.
No,
can
no, we're just kind of cruising.
Okay. So 305. There's nowhere. You're in empty space. Make another jump to Varvaressos.
5.
Okay. So a failed test. You roll 3d6. It might take longer. It might damage the ship.
Be a hell of a way to die.
All right, guys, we died.
Show's over.
Well, we'll start up the new show. Roleplay, don't fuck up navigation.
Well, remember, you've got this batch of the sessions reroll too, but it's only on skill rolls. You have 1, 2, 3, 4. You have 5 more nav rolls to make.
Okay. I'm not going to re-roll that.
Okay, so just roll 3d6, please.
What's better, lower or higher?
You want higher.
6.
So you get a 6. Okay, so there's a power spike. One of your systems on the ship is down until it's repaired. You're stuck in transit for the full base time. If you can make another check, if the spike drive fails, treat it as if it was a 3. Okay,
I need to roll an RNG?
So how many? We got to figure out how many systems there are on the Swan Song. Steven, you got the Swan Song sheet there.
Yup. Let's take a look.
Okay. So there's navigation, piloting. There's life support doesn't count for this because it's an emergency subsystem. So piloting, navigation,
spike drive.
Each weapon. Yeah. The spike drive, the scoops, and the computer core. So there's like
6?
6?
No, I didn't count 2 weapons. I think that's 7. Steven, were you counting quartermaster? Rather than just guessing.
Okay, I'll write them down. So piloting is 1, and I'll keep this list for next time. So pilot is 1, nav is another. What did we say? The scoops.
Core, scoops.
Yeah, the core, the drive, and then the laser and
the sand thrower.
Okay,
at
so there are
7.
1, 2, yeah, 7. Okay, so Higgs, roll a D, D7 for me.
3.
Okay, so your scoops are offline until you repair them. So Steven, make a note.
Does that mean we can't land? What is scoops?
No, the scoops just let you. That's actually probably the best one you could get.
Oh, great, perfect.
Because the scoops just let you pick up additional fuel for free.
Perfect.
Okay, so your scoops are busted. You're stuck in transit for the base time, but then you get to make the next jump. So you arrive in Varvaressos, your scoops are busted. Figure out how much you need to pay to refill, and then you can jump to Gunhild.
Yeah, so that was 3 jumps total, and we've gone 18 days.
Yep.
And actually, I need to multiply that by 5 to determine the number of person days we're down, and then multiply that by 20. So we've actually spent 1,800 on
Okay.
Life support.
You keep, basically the only thing is you just keep a running total, and the only reason we'd need to know all of a sudden how many you have is if you get stranded or you end up in the wrong hex.
Yep.
Okay, so Higgs, you want to make the jump to Gunhild?
Yep.
Okay.
11.
All right, you do it. Perfect. Oops. Okay, so that's your fourth jump. Make another one to hex. Make another one to hex 507.
All right. 3.
Okay. Do you want to re-roll or do you want to make the
let's roll re-roll on that. That was a bad one.
Okay.
8.
Okay. At least so now you're useful. In empty space near hex 507. Mm-hmm. You want to make the jump to the Tovar system?
Yep.
Do it.
4. God damn it.
Okay. Now roll 3d6.
7.
Okay. Power spike. Another system gets mangled. You want to roll a d6 this time?
6.
Okay. So 6 is the sand thrower. Sand thrower is offline.
When it goes offline, I look at Piani and I'm like, good. I'm glad.
Thank God. Okay, cool.
Saved your life that day.
All right. So go ahead and make
sand out of my ears.
So that's what you the too. Fifth jump now?
We're going to Tovar, I think, next one. No, we made it to Tovar.
You made it to Tovar. So now do you want to jump to 609 or 706?
Definitely 609.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and make that jump.
4. God fucking damn it. Okay.
3D6, please.
9.
9. Okay. Ship off course. Spend base time in transit and then make another navigation check. So, you don't.
Okay. So, hang on. Now we need to know. And this is this is actually.
Wait, we didn't buy shit in Tovar?
So you did, yeah. No, I assume that
we resupplied in Tovar.
I assumed you resupplied anytime you had a chance.
So now we're down to 54 person days.
Yeah.
We are so fucked.
So 54 person days.
And then we need to spend base time just going nowhere.
So you just spent 6 days doing nothing, like lost in spike space.
Yeah. So
Monster's Race.
That's what took us down to 54. Now we need to spend another 6 days. Basically, we should try to go back to Tovar. Because if we spend another 30,
go right to
you're basically lost between 608 and 609.
Right.
Because it's ship off course. You spend the base time in transit, and then. Yeah, you can try and go back to Tovar, or it
basically,
would be two more jumps to get to Severus, so you have to go back to Tovar.
Right. Basically, guys, the best case scenario is we take 6 days to get to 609, and then 6 days to get to Stavru, which puts us at negative 6 person days on our life support. We need to go back to Tovar and resupply.
Okay. So, re-navigating back to Tovar, Higgs, I'll give you a +2 bonus on that roll, because you kind of already know where you're going.
Yeah.
Okay. So, there you go. Okay, so it takes 6 days. You arrive in
Tovar. We don't die! Yes.
I told you passed that star like 4 times.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Alrighty, so you refuel there. And now you want to make that jump. You want to try going back to 609? Do you want to go to 706?
Fuck 609. Let's go to 708.
Yeah.
Okay, 708. Go for it.
10.
Okay, awesome. So you're in the empty space near Stavro.
Yep.
One more and that'll get you there.
5.
Okay, roll 3d6.
14.
14. Ship off course detected early. So you punch in all the coordinates and you're about to hit it and you're like, oh wait, hold on, that's not right. So you manage to stop, you get another nav check.
Perfect.
And you don't waste any extra time.
11.
There you go. Okay, so you guys arrive in the farthest ass hex there is from the middle of the system in Stavro.
And it only took us 54 days.
That's right, it only took almost...
We forgot almost to do the math, how many times Victor had sex with the professor during this whole thing. damn it. We'll have to go back and do it all together.
I can guarantee you it's some multiple of 54.
God damn it, Steve.
Awesome. Okay, so just some quick information about the system. There's two planets in the Stavro system. Stavro 9 is the planet Grimhild. It's a tech level 2 planet. And Subhadra, which is also a tech level 2 planet. There's a reason that this is the backwater of the...
And we're going to Subhadra, right?
You guys are, yeah, you're headed for Subhadra. Yeah,
Subhadra.
So it'll take to get from the edge of the system to Subhadra, it'll take, what is it, 48 hours within system? No, 6 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys arrive kind of at the edge of your...
Shit. Surely we can somehow refuel.
Yeah. You've,
okay, oh, you, even though it's tech level 2.
Well, you have scoops, but they're broken. So show up with no fuel. But you refueled just to get here. Yeah, you could probably fix like tech astronautics, you could fix the scoops, but you're going to have to land and get out. And
Yeah. All right, well, I'll have to definitely look at that for sure.
Do you share that with the rest of the crew? Like, oh, we don't have any fuel.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, like, we just have to be sure that we have to somehow figure out a way to get from this tech level 2 planet back to civilization through these heavy jumps that we're needing to do to get across two hexes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, double jumps. So the cool thing about having better spike drive is you can go twice as far with the same amount of time,
yep,
which is cool. Okay, so do you go straight to Subhadra when you get here?
Yeah, I assume so.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So during the course of the travel, like 2 months is a long time. What's everybody doing? Yeah, essentially, aside from like occasionally like keeping an eye on, like taking shifts to keep an eye on the ship and make sure you don't like come out of hyperspace at the wrong time, like you guys have 2 months of downtime to do whatever you want. You're just in an enclosed space.
Practicing on assault armor and keeping an eye on our guests and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. What do you do, Sikirin? What do you do to like keep like from having your muscles atrophy on the ship? Like, do you have a fitness regimen? Do you run around the ship? Do you like lift weights?
Well, he's a very lithe guy. He's not like big mm-hmm. and bulky, so he actually does like a yoga variant in his room and calisthenics, just military stuff. Just stays in good shape.
Totally. So
nothing crazy. He's not like always in the gym or anything like that. He's not a very strong guy, particularly.
Yeah. No, I like it. That makes sense with the kind of the way that we've seen of him so far. Okay. Piani, what are you doing?
Talking with Pi mostly.
Okay. Pi has a book that they want to read you.
Life of Pi?
Life of Pi. No, they're writing that book. You get one. That was it.
Yep.
That joke's over. it's a book called Discourse on the Method by René Descartes. And they insist on reading you the entire book in French.
I mean, considering that I'm trying to win good favor with Pi, I'm open to that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, unless you're like actively like listening and practicing and trying to learn.
Turn your cams back on.
Here we go.
Oh.
You could, if you want to, use this as an opportunity to try and learn French from Pi.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Okay.
I have 2 months.
Make an intelligence check.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So you've got the basics of the language, like, pretty much down. If you want to communicate in French with someone, you'll have to make an intelligence check, but now you at least are allowed to make that check.
Okay.
And you pick it up. The book is way, way, way more advanced than your French allows you to understand. Sure. But Pi seems really like interested in it. And ask you all these questions, like, do you know Descartes? Where does this person live? I want to speak to them. Like, can you bring them on the ship? Can we go there? Where are they?
And I do my best to try to answer as many questions as it relates to, obviously, time and the fact that many of these people who have written great works are no longer around, but maybe...
I think you have to explain the concept of time to Pi, because they don't understand that, like, things happened before and things will happen and things are happening. Like, they're confused about the idea of causal reality. And so you end up in these long, like, looped conversations of questions, and you can only answer with, like, I don't know, or, like, we don't know how that works.
And I do my best to just try to, you know, just try to, I guess, convey as much information as I can, what I can.
So it's for this like 2 months, Pi is primarily interested in raw data. It's like, why is something like this? How do you know that? Who is this person? Like, fairly straightforward questions. They end up getting philosophical when you don't have answers, but Pi gets bored with the philosophy and is just like, I don't care about that. Answer this question instead.
Is there, I mean, how much data can Pi actually get when we're out in space? Is it limited to just what is in our ship's memories and storage, etc.?
Yeah, mostly. Like, you check the comms logs and stuff, and it doesn't look like Pi is doing a lot of, like, communicating. There's not a lot of outgoing or incoming communication, which is why it's weird, because you definitely don't have a French dictionary or the works of René Descartes on your ship.
Well, I mean, I think Piani assumes that when the French folks brought the computer over to back up Pi, that is where that came from. But that's why, I guess that's kind of why I was asking, is there anything else that I have seen that Pi has picked up on outside of the French book and
no language? just those, like the Descartes book, the fact that it can understand, they understand French, and the chamber music that it seems to have picked up. And right now, like, Pi plays it for you whenever it either wants your attention or it seems like you're exhibiting any emotion of any kind. But it's the same stuff over and over. So after 2 months, you've heard every song that Pi knows.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. Victor, what are you doing for
Pi?
your time?
Pi, are you there?
yeah, you get a response. Comms click on.
Pi, do you know how to speak French?
In French, Pi responds in the positive.
Pi, do you know anything about dancing?
What's dancing?
Oh, you know, I. Sorry, that's very like bodyist of me, I guess. It's something that you see when a boy really likes a. Well, it's never mind. What about that French stuff?
I learned it.
Can you teach me?
I think, yes.
Do you know any French songs?
Some music starts playing. Music you've already heard, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Victor just, you know, bends his whole mind to the art of la romance française.
Awesome.
I guess it'd be la romance française.
You're a xenoarchaeologist, so obviously a huge dork, and you're trying to learn how to be romantic from a computer.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. That's definitely what...
Like, you're reading...
trying to woo a cyborg, so...
So good. I've read the entire Wikipedia article about having le sex. The whole article.
Did you know that the French call the orgasm la petite mort? I don't know what an orgasm is. The French call it la petite mort.
It's when you lose all your hit points except one.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
All right. Okay. So while you're doing that, we know what Sakarian is doing. Higgs, what are you up to?
2 days into the trip, I go and find Piani. And Piani, you hacked that compad yet? I need to know.
Mm. Oh, I haven't.
Can you take a crack at it while I'm watching? Sure. So you fucking do it already?
Yeah. I can do that. Maybe. Give it. I'm a bit tired. Yeah.
Yeah, it shows. You just hit the thing. That's not going to work, Peony. is your friend Pi around? Could he perhaps take a look at it?
Pi's always around. Just ask him for help.
Yeah, that's starting to creep me the fuck out. You need to talk to him about that. It's weird. It's almost as weird as you looking in all the fucking cameras while we're on the ship. You got to stop that. Anyways.
Pi. Pi?
Pi doesn't feel the need to respond. You know that they're there.
Can you take a look at this comm pad for me? Maybe just see what kind of data's on it.
You want to plug it into the computer?
I plug it in.
Okay. There's a second as it Pi reads the encryption, and the response comes back. I don't think I'm allowed.
No, Pi. You're totally allowed to do this. You have my authority. If anyone asks, say that Joe Schmo gave me the authority.
This doesn't belong to you.
No, it does. I found it, and it now belongs to me. It might not have my name on it, but I found it, and so it's mine. That's how it works. You found us, so we belong to you. Is that right, Pi?
Pi is obviously processing this information. Yes, I suppose so. Boom. Let me take a look.
Thank you. I just roll my eyes at Peony.
Okay. The compad, yeah, opens. It like the encryption screen just goes away.
The encryption does.
I could take it and go through it then.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Do I find anything of relevance on it? I thank Pi, by the way. Thank you, Pi. And is there anything of relevance?
Yeah, I mean, it'll take some time to dig through it, but you've got lots of that. It's a compad belonging to one Jared Crane. There is some communication between Crane and a like an anonymous Madari Syndicate, like a burner email address, basically. Working out the deals of the bounty. Like, there's a bounty notification, and then he said, like, I know I've tracked them here, and there's some progress reports.
How much does it say the bounty was for?
What did it say, 100,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100,000 credits.
Can I actually modify it and delete a zero?
Yeah, I guess so, sure. You just want to, like, show Higgs up.
Right, and I just... Fucking Higgs! You're only worth 10,000 credits!
Well,
you're nothing in this universe!
I guess not. Maybe they'll stop coming after me. You actually did me a favor. That's very kind of you, Peony.
No, I didn't change it in their system. I just changed it on the display, you fucking twat.
Well, that does fucking... It's just so Peony, why would you go and fuck... You're an asshole, Peony. You know what? Fuck you, Peony.
You owe me 40,000 credits.
I don't trust Peony. He's an asshole.
Is there anything else?
Yeah, there's a couple emails back and forth. They seem to originate in Hoveda between... Jared and an email address that's like mumanddadcrane@somegenericprovider.com, and it's asking about like how are you and your sister doing? You're keeping her out of trouble, I hope. Send us pictures. Just like family, like upkeep stuff. And then miscellaneous personal information on the pad, like you know, like bank statements, music that he keeps on his thing. He gets spammed pretty regularly for ship parts. He signed up for some mailing list. And then all of the other boring crap that you would find on someone's phone.
Okay. I just hand it back to Wilbur and just kind of shake my head.
Okay.
Cheers now, Wilbur.
So does anybody make a point of having a conversation or getting to know the doctor at all?
Yeah, I would. I'm sociable with him. Yeah.
Well, you know,
I think we all are at the mess hall. Like he's always there.
Yeah, I probably have been in touch with him, especially about MES and the way that we're managing patients.
Yeah, so he talks to you about Peony specifically and lays out in slightly more medical terms, like the device gives off chemical pheromones that have biological... It's not a psychic device. It's just that the biological component of the pheromones may have, in some strains of MES, have effects on you know, on people. But if they, she keeps clear of the bay, everybody will be fine. It'll be okay.
I mean, is there any sort of... I mean, have you done any further studies into this? Have you looked into the implications of how these pheromones interact with biology and what that might mean for MES? I mean, maybe this represents a way for us to produce a suppressing, you know, inoculation or something like that. That sounds quite dramatic.
What's your you have a xenoarchaeology, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he speaks Shalalian.
Shalalian. Okay. He admits to you that right now the VOD are just not, like, because they're non-intelligent, they're really seen as an animal species, and it takes a lot to get any kind of funding to deal with any study for them. And that, yes, if they can communicate with them, they might be able to find some way to get additional funding or a grant or something to do a biology study. But right now, the synthetic pheromones, they're designed specifically to affect these aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you?
Okay.
I mean, could you spare a vial for sampling?
He's very polite, but he's like, I can't. I'm instructed by the team that built it not to open the vessel till we get there. But if you're willing to stay a few days, I can show you around our facility, and perhaps this is something that I could do for you.
I would be very interested in that. We don't get a whole lot of opportunity to really study things here on this ship, unfortunately. it's a little more action focused, but if my team is interested in taking a short vacation after all of the excitement, then I'd like to do that.
So I think you guys are having this conversation like as you're you're approaching, and maybe the ship's autopilot needs you to like come on the deck. So you're walking down the corridor, and so you say that you're like, "Oh, the team, like, if we want to take a vacation." And he says to you, like, as the doors are opening to the bridge, he's like, "Oh, friend, once you see Subhadra, you will not want to take a vacation here." And the two of you step out onto the bridge, and you can see you're entering the atmosphere of the planet. And Subhadra is maybe the most polluted place you've ever been in your entire life. The entire atmosphere is like, just like that kind of pinkish orange, like smog cloud.
We call it Beijing pink.
Yeah, right. And as you pass through it, you see the surface of the planet below you, and everybody else. You guys all see this. You're approaching the planet, and you can see quite a distance once you've broken the smog cloud. It's just like a rocky kind of desert wasteland. There's evidence that vegetation lived here at one point, but it's all just withered and died. There's like strands of dead trees, and all the vegetation has fallen off. And instead of cities, you see these massive like stone and dirt mounds, kind of like termite mounds, with lots of like tunnel entrances in them, and then metal piping that comes out, and then all of this pollution and smog just pouring out of these pipes into the atmosphere from these like massive mounds. You see in the distance, there's a small, near one of these mounds, there's a small like human-made facility. And the doctor looks at you and kind of catches you looking at this shithole of a planet. And he puts his hands up and he says, "It doesn't look like much, but for the next little while, it's home." And you pull the ship in and start heading towards the facility.
And you, I think, bet.
That's probably as good a place as any to call it for the evening.
Perfect. Awesome.
Pick up on Subhadra next time.
Cool stuff. We'll let you guys know probably right after the show when the next session is. But for now, let's go ahead and do some shout-outs. Steven, start us off.
Thanks for hanging out, guys, and having fun with us. This is this episode was a total blast. I thought we had a lot of hilarious fun. Follow me on Twitter, YouTube, whatever. Silent Osiris, the O is a zero. It's that I think it's on screen somewhere. JP does magic that I don't understand because I never watched the show because I'm in it. Good. That's it. Thanks for hanging out.
There you go. Jeff, do some shout outs.
What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in. It was awesome. Sorry for the audio issues that I had on and off again. I'll work on it. Don't know what it is, but it's something to do with the new computer. As always, if you want to support me, the best way to do that is just like watch my stream. I'm streaming XCOM lately, StarCraft 2 mostly, and would love to join in on the trolling with Mr. JP, Ryan, and whoever else Steven sounds like he wants to get involved as well. and kill people in other games as well. Also, big shout out to my team, Evil Geniuses, of course, and you can follow me on Twitter at EGNControl. I don't think we have... Do we have Solemn scheduled, JP?
No, because Neil's been up for 100 hours.
Because Neil's trying to kill himself.
Yeah, he's still actually up. He passed 100 hours today.
I think he's going to make it. He's closing in on, like, I think it's like 15 or 16 hours until he's there.
It'll be sometime tomorrow.
It is actually, like, when he's alone, he dips his face in water, and I'm like, one of these times he's actually going to just fall asleep and kill himself.
He'll just drown.
Just drown
in the water.
Like, we laugh, but it could actually happen.
No.
It'll totally fucking happen.
Too soon, guys. Too soon.
He's been up, crazy.
Sorry, in Las Vegas for SOE, their con there, so if you're attending, I'm guessing there's not a whole lot of you doing that, but you should. There's going to be Margaret there as well from the role play shows, or Maggie. I don't know. Her name's Margaret, I think, but Margaret. I don't know if she's that. Whatever. Her. I'm going to be hopefully winning money. That's the plan this time, but if you see some sad faces on Twitter, that's probably what'll happen. And that's about it. So, you know, thanks for tuning in.
Cool stuff. Oh, God. Adam, I hope this is you. It's labeled Steven. I haven't fixed it. Nope, that's Steven. Oh, God. Adam, do some shout-outs. I gotta fix that right now.
Thanks for coming and watching the show, everybody. Thanks to the players. I love campaigns more and more the longer they go on, because all of this cool background stuff just gets like layered on top, and like as the players do things, it gets out in the universe. I'm really excited to see where every little thread in this game goes, and so I'm really glad everybody's tuning in and seeing all that stuff with us. If you want to catch the behind-the-scenes stuff, I do my GM turns. I've got another two more to do. You can find me on Twitch, just Adam Coble. I'm not going to be doing them this weekend like I normally would, because I'm going to Gen Con, which we mentioned at the beginning. So if you're at Gen Con, I'm going to be at Games on Demand for probably most of the con. So if you see me there or walking around, come and say hello, because I don't bite. And follow me on Twitter, Skinny Ghost. Post things on Reddit. Oh, speaking of which, I'll do a Q&A like I usually do, on ItMeJP. And if you have questions, you can ask me in there.
Awesome stuff. And last but not least, Wheat, close us out.
Yo, I just want to use this opportunity to give a shout out to my kid, Mini Wheat. He's going to be starting third grade on Wednesday, and he's the most fly motherfucker at Picot. Word. That's it.
There you go. There you go. Keep it real. Keep it real. I can't even top that. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye, everybody.